And what do? You have multiple patients coming in and you don't have enough equipment. You don't have enough machinery to help everyone. So what do you do? So like I said, Baruch Hashem, I think the numbers are going down from my understanding. And I think Baruch Hashem, the hospitals are equipped now to handle the patients that are coming in. But there was definitely a point when several hospitals were really, maxed out and overwhelmed and were definitely not able to help everyone. So the question is, how do you decide when you have multiple patients coming in? How do you decide, whom to treat, and how do you make those decisions? So just a disclaimer, this is like an iceberg. You just see the top of it, and there's a huge mountain underneath the water. So we're literally just going to scrape the top of the iceberg here, just to get a sense of some of the issues. Two great gedolim today, who've been dealing with so many of these issues and other issues, are Rav Hershel Schechter and Rav Asher Weiss. So both of them wrote a tshuva about this, and we'll be learning parts of their tshuva. Both of them have been working kind of like overtime and overdrive to deal with many of the shilas that came their way regarding COVID and Corona, and some of them life and death, some of them monetary issues, some of them Pesach related issues. As we know, a lot of Pesach questions and shilas that came their way, around Pesach time. So this is obviously one of the heavier shilas that they had to deal with, and both of them, separately dealt with this. There was some overlap. And in terms of their two tshuvas, obviously very different tshuvas, but there was some overlap in terms of halacha. Okay, so the first source that comes to mind that they both, actually Rav Asher Weiss doesn't mention this source, but Rav Schechter does, is the Mishnah in Horios. The Mishnah in Horios tells us that when it comes to treating someone or saving someone, and you have to decide who you're going to treat or who you're going to save, so there are certain priorities. There's a certain pecking order when it comes to who to save. Again, the assumption being that you cannot save everyone. If you can save everyone, save everyone. But if I cannot save everyone and I have to make a decision, then I'm going to save A and not B. So then how do you make those decisions? So the Mishnah sheds some light on this. Now the Mishnah says, if you look at source number one, so the Mishnah in Horios says, Ha'ish kodem li'isha l'hachayos, which is a very controversial statement, that when, if you see a man and a woman, and they both need to be saved, so you save the man over the woman. Now, why is that? So the Taz explains that really the thinking behind this, and we'll see as we read the entire part of the mission, the part of the mission that we're going to read, is that much of this has to do with an elevated level of kedusha due to mitzvos. So the Taz explains that there's nothing inherently greater about a man over a woman. Right? This is not a chauvinistic comment, but the point is that a man is chayav in all the mitzvos. A man is chayav in 613 mitzvos. A woman is not. We know women are exempt from mitzvos aseisha azman grama. And therefore, when it comes to performance of mitzvos, so what a person can contribute to Jewish society, to the world, through his or her performance of mitzvos, so the man has, so to speak, more to contribute in that realm than the woman. And therefore, you save the man over the woman. Obviously, that's that would ruffle some feathers. But that is what the Mishnah says in terms of that. Rav Schechter does point out that presumably nowadays this would not apply, because nowadays, since there are so many women that are involved in so many mitzvahs, that have taken on so many mitzvahs upon themselves, or even studying Torah and all types of things that women did not do for many, many years. So because of that, he feels that this order of the Mishnah may not apply anymore. But that's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah then goes on to say, Kohen kodem lelevi, levi le Yisrael, Yisrael le mamzer, that a Kohen has priority over a levi over a Yisrael over a mamzer, a mamzer over an asin, an asin over a ger, levin meshuchrar. So again, these are all different types of Jews, and all these types of Jews have different levels in terms of what their priority is. So the Mishnah then continues, Emosai, when do we say that this is the priority? Is man shekulam shavim. This is the priority at a time when they are all equal. Right? At a time that they're all equal, so that's when we say, that's when we give them priority. Avalim hayam mamzer tamen chacham, the kohen gadol am ha'aretz. But if, let's say, you have a mamzer is a person who's a product of an illegitimate marriage. So let's say that mamzer, he's a Talmud Chacham, he's a Torah sage, he's a Talmud Chacham, and the Kohen Gadol is an Am Haaretz. So in terms of stature, you have a mamzer versus Kohen Gadol, you would certainly say that the Kohen Gadol, should take priority over the mamzer. But yet the mamzer is a Talmud Chacham, and the Kohen Gadol is an Am Haaretz. So what do you do? So says the Mishnah, mamzer Talmud Chacham called him the Kohen Gadol Am Haaretz. That the mamzer Talmud Chacham has priority over the Kohen Gadol Am Haaretz. So why is that? Even though the Kohen Gadol, again, in terms of his profession and stature, he's probably greater. But the fact that this person is, the fact that the mamzer is a Talmud Chacham, so that gives him priority, because the Talmud Chacham has the ability to learn Torah, to teach Torah, and therefore that ability is something that that gives him priority status. The Yerushalmi, feel free. Feel free to unmute yourselves if you want to ask a question or make a comment. So source number two, the Yerushalmi, on that Mishnah in Horios explains, and this is quoted by Rav Shechter. He quotes the Bir Hagra. The Gra quotes this Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, "Tani hasodran kodem lepil pula." So the Yerushalmi says that, let's say I have two Talmidei Chachamim, and Pnei Moshe, source number three, explains this. Let's say I have two Talmidei Chachamim, and one Talmud Chacham knows a tremendous amount of Mishnayos, Brisos. He's a big bucky. He knows a lot. And the other Talmud Chacham, he doesn't know as much. He doesn't have the same breadth of knowledge, but he's very sharp. And he's very sharp and he's able to analyze. It's almost like the Gemara says in another place, Oker Harim and a Sinai. Right? Sinai is like the person who has the breadth of knowledge, and Oker Harim is someone who has the analysis and the sharpness to be able to analyze and to elucidate the sugya. So which one takes priority? So the Yerushalmi seems to say that the Sodron, which according to the Pnei Moshe means the one who has the breadth of knowledge, he takes priority. Rav Shechter understands that, what does that mean? And this is number four, he writes, V'nire she'akoveya ba'zeh, hu she'makdimim lahatzil es zeh, she'hakehilot tzricha lo b'yoseh. That the person that's needed by the community, the person that's needed by the Jewish community, the greater the need that that person has, the greater the need that the Jewish community has for that person, that will make the person more of a priority. So therefore, the mamzer Talmud Chacham, the Talmud Chacham is a greater need than the Kohen Gadol, because technically any Kohen could be made a Kohen Gadol, but not everybody could be a Talmud Chacham. And even within Talmidei Chachamim, there are different types of Talmidei Chachamim, and the Yerushalmi is identifying that a Talmud Chacham who has a greater breadth of knowledge, he knows more Braisos and more Mishnayos, so that person is someone that the Kehilas Tzricha Lo B'Yoser, and therefore that's someone that would take priority. Now Rav Moshe and Etshuva already writes that nowadays it's very difficult for us to make these judgments. How do we assess which person is really a priority, which person is not a priority, which person offers more to the community, which person does not offer more to the community? And he writes in a tshuva in Choshen Mishpat, this tshuva is actually one of the very important tshuvas that Rav Moshe writes about end-of-life issues. He has a lot of complex end-of-life shilas that he discusses in this tshuva. He has several tshuvas about this. This is one of them. And he writes, V'af be'elu, referring to this order of priority in the Mishnah in Horios, kashe la'asos ma'isa b'lo iyun galo. He says it's very difficult to paskin based on this Mishnah without really, really being ma'ayin and analyzing and trying to figure out. And even so, it's a very difficult thing to do. And as Rav Shechter concludes, because it's so difficult to make these judgments and evaluations and assessments today, so therefore we don't really work with this criteria. And he writes, V'davar Zen, source number six, Kashem ma'od b'kvah minitzrach l'kehila yosem imi. It's very hard to figure out, who's more needed by the community than someone else. U'mitam zeh ha'makubaleitz al ha'poskim, shelo linhog al pi ha'mishnah. And therefore, he says that the most poskim do not operate based on this mission anymore, because it's too hard for us to make these judgments and these assessments, who's more valuable, who's less valuable, who takes priority, who doesn't take priority. And therefore, he says, we're not making our decisions based on that. So if that's what comes to mind first, but we're not making our decisions based on that Mishnah, and essentially then all Jewish people are going to be the same, whether they're a Talmud Chacham or an Am Haaretz, a Kohen, a Levi, it doesn't make a difference. So then how do we make these decisions? How do we make these judgments? So Rav Asher Weiss, and says it very succinctly. If you look at it, this is just a piece of his tshuva in source number 7. And he writes, Shnei ekronos tzrichim lehishakel bevo'enu likvoa eseder hakadima behatzalas nefashos. We need to think about two factors, two criteria, when we're thinking about how to make decisions and how to prioritize saving lives. Number one, godel hasakana, and number two, v'godel hasikui. So number one, he says, how grave the danger is. You have to look at each patient, right? How grave, how much danger are these patients in, number one? And number two, what are the chances, this is a second cheshbon, what are the chances of survival? A person can be in very grave danger, but they can have a pretty high chance of survival. A person can also, not be in such grave danger, but the chance of us treating them is unlikely. And he continues, Yesh lahakdim es hamesukan yoser, so someone who's in more danger should take priority. Right, without medical intervention, this person is going to be in immediate danger. So that's the type of person that you want to treat first, that you want to prioritize. As opposed to someone who's not in such immediate danger. And if there comes a need, then we can treat them when it becomes necessary. And also the Yesh Lahakdim is Misha Yesh Histablus Rabba Shenduchala Hatzilas Chayav L'Misha Shemeatim Asikuyim Latzio. If we have two patients and one of them has a greater chance of survival than the other, so that also takes priority, right? So number one, the person who's in grave danger, right? The graver the danger, so to speak, the higher the priority. And also, and this something, sometimes these two might play off each other, and you got to figure that out and use the doctors have to use their assessment here. But also, one who has a greater chance of survival also would take priority. Now, very interesting question. Does age, is age a factor in this decision at all? Now, do we say that a person who's older, so he has presumably fewer years to live, a person who's younger has a whole life ahead of him. So do we give priority to the younger person because there's more potential for more years of life as opposed to someone who's older? So Rav Asher Weiss says absolutely not. Gilo shel ha'adam ein lo mashmalus u'mishkal halchati. He says that we don't take into account. It doesn't. It's not a halachic. It bears no halachic weight. How old a person is. Rak ha'kol tzev chayim l'chol chay yodei v'kovei ami v'kitzo mi v'lo v'kitzo. Only Akadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Akadosh Baruch Hu is the only one who can decide. When a person is going to die, how many years a person will live. Only Akadosh Baruch Hu can decide that. Ve'ode be'emes mishkal ha'chayim ha'sguli. And also he says it's possible that even, just length of days doesn't necessarily mean that this person's life is more, more weighty or more substantial. And he says, therefore, we don't really take into account at all, when it comes to halachic decisions, the age of a person.
Although the age will probably be a factor in the first paragraph he has, because especially with COVID, the younger people have a much more likely chance of the outcome. So that in that case, you'll want to.
Excellent point. Right. Excellent point. Age definitely can play a factor, and you're right. With COVID, especially, it absolutely does. He's talking about where let's say from a medical perspective, these two patients are equivalent.
Right.
They both are in the same level of danger. Both are in the same, let's say, chance of survival. But just one is older, one is younger. But you're absolutely right. Right? If the age of the person is impacting his, his chances or his health, then of course that would be true. Yeah.
And is this because he's now rejecting the idea of who has more to give to society? Because usually the younger person could have 50 years left versus 5 years left. But right. He's not talking about that anymore.
Right, so he's saying that we can't take that into account because we don't really know. Meaning, you could have a person, some people die when they're 20, when they're 25, some people die when they're 85. So just because a person's younger doesn't mean necessarily they're going to have more to give or more to contribute.
Right, but you usually want to play the odds, right? Even in halacha, want to.
So what he's saying is that when you have to choose, when these are life and death decisions between people, we don't have the right to play those odds. Right. In other words, even though technically you're right, the odds will have it that the older person will have fewer years left to live, No, but he says also it's not all about the numbers, right? Meaning sometimes you have an older person and they have more to contribute. You know, you have a younger person and is a nice guy, but he's not contributing that much to society. It's not just about the numbers. But related to your first point, Hudi, Rav Shechter actually makes an important point. And by the way, not everything that Rav Shechter and Rav Asher Weiss say, they wouldn't necessarily all agree with each other. I'm kind of just packaging a lot of these issues together. And of course, nothing that we're saying here is halacha l'maisa, right? This is all just theoretical, just to learn, you know, and to discuss the issues. But Rav Shechter touches on that first point, and he says that let's say you have a person who's an older person, and they're not in good health because of that, right? They're not in good health, and a younger person is a healthy person. So then, of course, that would make a difference. And that's what he says in number 8. He says, "Aval cheshbon hanal shel zaken muflag u'mesukan." Right? If I have an older person who's in danger, he's in poor health, and versus a younger, healthy person, he says, that's obvious. He says it would be better than to prioritize and to treat the young, healthy person. And he says it's not, he says the point here is not necessarily that the it's not a quantity issue that the young person is going to live 40 years and the older person is only going to live 5 years, because he says number one, we don't know if that's true, and number two, you know, even if that is true, maybe the zaken who lives 5 more years will contribute more to society in those 5 years than the younger person in his 40 years. You know, we have no way of making that judgment right now. So what's the idea? So he says the idea is, and this is where it's underlined, she'itzel hazaken achole afilu yo'ilo ha-ventilator, right? And as he spells out the word ventilator, that even if the ventilator helps him, rak yichya od chaye sha'a, klomar pachos me'asher yud beis chodesh. He says, if you think that a person, let's say this older person who's not in good health, so you're going to put him on a ventilator and it will help him, but he's not going to make it past a year. He's not going to live more than a year, you know, in this situation. Vim yo'il ha-ventilator avur ha-tzair ha-bari yanik lo chaye olam. But the young person can have a total recovery, and he can live much more than a year. So then he says, "Upshita dezeh cheshbon al pi din." So that already, what we call chaye sha versus chaye olam. Chaye sha is a person who really doesn't, you know, does not have more than a year to live. Chaye olam, a person who has much more to live. So that already is a real cheshbon. Chaye olam adifim mechaye sha, but lachen yesh la'akdima. So there you would prioritize the person who has the chaye olam before him, who has the ability to live a much longer life, as opposed to someone who's only going to live a year or less. Now, there was a very, very important sefer in medical halacha is Nishmas Avraham, written by Harav Dr. Avraham Avraham. Interesting name, but that's his name. He was a rabbi and a doctor in Eretz Yisrael, and he wrote this sefer Nishmas Avraham, several volumes on very important questions. He was a close Talmud of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and includes many, many piskei halacha of Rav Shlomo Zalman. So he says that if you have a situation of two patients that come before you, and one of them is, you can definitely save him, and the other one is a suffix. So then he says that's also a cheshbon. Achim le'echad vaday efshar lahatzil, v'asheni rak v'suffik, as ein dochen vaday mipnei suffik. So then you treat the person that you can certainly save. Right? You have these two people, and you have to treat one at a time. And the one that you can certainly save him. So work on that patient first, save his life, and then get to the person that's a suffix, because you work with the vada before you work with the suffix. Now he raises a very interesting point, and this is something that actually both Rav Shechter and Rav Asher Weiss mentioned as well, but it's really discussed in the Nishmas Avraham many, many years before. And that is, and this is in the name of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, but that is that let's say the doctor already started working on someone. So our conversation that we've had is really when both patients show up to the hospital at the same time. And now you have to decide which patient to treat. But if the doctor already started working on one of the patients, so then he can't turn away. He can't stop. Ach, im harofe kvar hischil letapa b'chol le'echad, o chibro osel le'machshir. Doctor already started working on one patient, or let's say you already connected one patient to a ventilator. Right, you already intubated him. And now another patient comes who needs that ventilator. Or another patient comes that needs the doctor's attention, and the doctor is busy working on the first fellow. Asur lerofe la'azov es hachola harishon kedei letapel b'shem. So the doctor is not allowed to turn his back on the first patient that he's already working on and deal with the second. V'chein asur lakachas es hamachshir mi'achola harishon kedei lechaber b'chola hasheni. And you can't take the first one off the ventilator and give it to the second fellow. V'zeh af apisha achola harishon rak b'sofik imu yisrape al af atipul da'asheni v'adai yisrape mi'kabel atipul ka'ez. And that's even if the second guy is a v'adai. The second guy for sure will heal. The first guy is a suffix. We're not sure. It doesn't matter. Because again, all these criteria that we've been discussing are only when they both come before you at the same time. But if one of them we're already working on, one of them is already connected to a ventilator, so then that's a whole different shayla. That's a whole different discussion. And you cannot turn your back on that first patient, or you cannot disconnect, right, that first patient from the ventilator to help the second patient. And he says, V'chein afilo merishon hu adam zakin and muflag v'chole. And here, right, even that discussion that we just had about the older person who's sickly, right, an older person who's not in good health, who's a sick person, and he's the first person that's being worked on or that's hooked up to the ventilator. And the second guy is a healthy guy. He's young. You know, he can really, he has a long life to live. It doesn't matter. And here, even if the first guy is sick and the second guy is, you know, a healthier person, it doesn't make a difference. So that's a very important thing. Very important halacha, and all the poskim seem to agree with this, that once they're working on someone, or once someone's hooked up to a ventilator, you can't just disconnect them and hook it up to someone else, even if that other person has a greater chance of survival. Now, there's a very interesting psak of Rav Schechter here, where he throws in a little qualification here. And he agrees that that's true. He agrees that that's true. But let's say you have a case where they hooked someone up to a ventilator, and they realize that this guy, he's an older person, he's sickly, he's probably not going to make it anyway, and we have other people coming into the hospital that really could benefit from this ventilator, and we can probably save their lives, right? So the doctors almost regret, you know, taking this ventilator, which is precious, because we don't know how many patients are going to come in, and using it for this older, sickly fellow. So then he says, look at this, source number 10. He writes, amazing psak. He says the doctors, under those circumstances, should try to get a DNR for this older patient. Obviously, it's not their decision, right? It's the decision of the family or the patient or whatever. But the doctors should do whatever they can to get a DNR for this fellow. Why? Because once he goes into cardiac arrest, and now they need, you know, that now they need to resuscitate him, that's already a new treatment. He says now regarding the new treatment, so now you view them as on the same playing field. You have the young healthy person and the older sickly person. If the older sickly person is already attached to the ventilator, you can't detach him. You can't take him off the ventilator, take him to the ventilator to someone else. But when it comes to a new treatment, so then we're back to the same playing field. We've now even the playing field when it comes to a new treatment. And therefore, he paskins, they should try to get a DNR for this older fellow. And that way, he gets the DNR. And therefore, if he goes into cardiac arrest. So now you have an even playing field decision to make. Who do I use this ventilator for? So then I could use the ventilator for the young person because I have a DNR for this older person. So it sounds like a little bit of a chiddush, but Rav Schechter says it. And he says, you know, also very, very powerful. You need someone of the stature of Rav Schechter to be making a psak like this. But he writes, "Ve'ein b'zeh mishum ein dochem nefesh mipnei nefesh." He said, "That's not called, but we have a rule, we have a halacha. Ein dochem nefesh mipnei nefesh. We can't choose one nefesh over another nefesh." But he says, "That's not what you're doing here. Ki ein kan ritzicha bekum va'asei. You're not actively murdering this person." He says, you're not murdering this older person. If he goes into cardiac arrest and you don't resuscitate him, that's not murder. What you are doing is you're standing by. We have a losa say in the Torah, losamon adam reyecha. You're not allowed to stand by and watch someone die. So generally speaking, someone goes into cardiac arrest, you have to resuscitate them. That's losamon adam reyecha. But here, you're allowed to, right, sheva altasa, you're allowed to remain passive and not be omed al dam reyecha. in this situation where the doctors have to decide between two patients, in this situation they're allowed to do that. They're not getting up and murdering someone, chas v'shalom, that you wouldn't be able to do. But this type of thing where they're just, you know, standing by and passively watching him die, so to speak, that would be okay in this particular situation. So I thought that was a very mechudash psak of Rav Schechter, but he says it, and he actually wrote it.
I wonder if you're allowed to take into the cheshbon someone's wishes. Like if an old person comes in and says, you know, help me out, but if there's a younger person, I'd rather he has it. Does that get calculated into the halacha or not?
That's a good question. It's an interesting question.
People were saying stuff. I mean, you heard cases like that. You know?
Right.
None of us.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think in the Nishmas Avram, he has a piece that discusses this, but I didn't look into it. But that's a good question, right? If an older person comes in and says, listen, I'm an old guy, you know, if it's me or somebody young, you know, give it to him. That's a good question. I'm not 100% sure.
I guess it's a better question if you say it the other way. If a guy comes in, him and his father, he says, I want my father to have a kibbutz, but he's the younger, healthier person.
I don't know. Right.
If we want to make it harder.
Yeah, that's an interesting question also, yeah. So both Rav Asher Weiss and Rav Schechter discuss the following, and they essentially come up with the same psak. But they both discuss the following fascinating case. So let's say you're in the peak of the coronavirus pandemic in New York, and the hospitals are overloaded. There are not enough ventilators for everyone. Patient comes in, and you can work on him. Right now, there are no other patients here. I mean, right now, he's the one who just came in. The ambulance just brought this fellow into the hospital. So he's now here. There's no other patients around. You know, in 5 or 10 minutes, though, that more patients are coming, because that's what's happening these days. Can you take that into account, right? Can you take that into account that I know that more patients are coming today. I know that other people are going to need the ventilators. Can I take that into account, or do I say no? Right now, this guy's here. He needs our attention. We got to deal with him. You know, what comes later, we'll have to make decisions later. So Rav Asher Weiss and Rav Schechter seems to say a similar thing. Rav Asher Weiss says, "Lagabe ha-she'ela, imachei nagia le-matzav she'yesh be-beis ha-cholim machsur gamor be-mechonas ha-neshama." He says, they just don't have enough ventilators. "Ulefi hispachtus ha-inyanim yodim anu be-beirur, she-beshaos ha-krovos yagiu le-beis ha-cholim cholim she'yu zekukim no-sha'os le-mechonos e'la." And we know that patients are going to be coming in today that need ventilators. "V'ze'ata higia chole eno she-kimat ofsu ha-sikoyim le-hatzilo." He says, a person comes into the hospital, and it's almost like the chances of survival are slim to none. So if we help this guy whose chances of survival are minimal, and then when someone else comes into the hospital, there are no more ventilators, but meanwhile that guy has a high chance of survival if we could intubate him. Listen to his language here. He says, I'm scared. It's like I'm scared to pass in this shayla, you know, because we're talking literally dinei nefashos. But he writes, "Achlanius daiti zechus hatzeves harufui limnoa mehachola shebefanenu esamechona amnas lahatzil chola acher shebevada yagia toks man katzar." He says, according, in my humble opinion, I believe that the medical staff has the right to deny this person a ventilator, right? Even though right now it could save their life, but if they deem that the chances of survival are very slim for this person, and they know, based on the numbers, that other people are coming in where the chances of survival are going to be greater, and they can benefit more from the ventilator, they have the right to prevent this person from getting the ventilator and giving it to the other person. That's a wild psak, and that's something that these are things that happen. Now, what's this based on? What's the idea that this is based on? So Rav Asher Weiss quotes there's a Pischei Tshuva, a fascinating Pischei Tshuva in Yoredei, and the Pischei Tshuva discusses a case of doing an autopsy. Right? Generally speaking, we know that we have an isser to do autopsies. We don't do autopsies on Jewish bodies. Number one. it's a bizayon to the mace. It's a nivul hamace. That's number one. Number two, there's also an isser hana. A person's not supposed to benefit from mason. And if you're doing an autopsy, you know, chances are you're going to be benefiting from it. So generally speaking, you're not allowed to do an autopsy. But the Pesachei Tshuva discusses a case that, let's say, we have a person died of a terrible disease. And the doctors, you know, the medical examiner wants to do an autopsy because they think that maybe by doing an autopsy, they'll be able to learn more about the disease. And then they'll be able to save other people. Hatzalas nefashos. So can you do an autopsy in order to learn about diseases and save lives? So the response was, this was asked from the Noda B'Yehuda. And the response was, Dimyesh lefanenu chole acher b'choli zeh. He says, if we have another chole here in front of us with this sickness, and the research that you're doing on this body can help this person here in front of us, mutar, that it's allowed. Bim lav aser. But if the chole is not here, it's just hypothetical or theoretical, or maybe there's other cholim out there that can benefit. That's not allowed. That's prohibited. That's aser. Now the Chazon Ish points out, we're not going to read this whole thing inside, but the Chazon Ish points out in number 13 that that when the Pesachei Tshuva in the name of the Noda B'Yehuda writes that the chole is bifanenu, he says it doesn't literally mean that he's here present in front of us versus not here present in front of us. But I'll just read the one line. He says, Elaim matsui hadavar. He says, if we're talking about a situation where it's matzli, it's common, there are sick people here with this disease, you know, all over the place. Everyone's davening, you know, for people, you know, that they shouldn't get sick with this. This is a disease that's contagious, that's spreading now. That's called a chola b'fanenu, right? So that's called a chola b'fanenu. So based on that, Rav Asher Weiss says, based on this idea, that a chole b'fanenu, according to the Chazon Ish, doesn't mean literally that he's b'fanenu. It doesn't mean literally he's here and present, but it just means that, you know, it's matzli, it's common that he's going to come. So Rav Asher Weiss connects this and he says we can apply the same halacha to this case in the hospital. That if someone comes into the hospital and you're trying to make a decision, yes to save him or not to save him, right? And someone else is incoming, or you know that other people are going to be coming in. That's called the chole b'fanenu, and we treat it as though they both arrived at the same time. And he writes, Haga b'atzmecha, keitzad haynu dani be'ofen shechole echad higia l'cheder hamiyun, like the triage room, b'matzav no'ash v'asikwad la'atzilu kalush bi'oser. Person comes in, very low chance of survival. In iskab l'hodah me'ambulance, shebaderech l'beis cholim, yesh l'chole tza'ir shezakuk l'mechonas ha'neshama, v'korv l'vada shef shel ha'atzil eschayav. And an ambulance calls, they're on their way with a young patient, and the young patient will most definitely benefit from the ventilator, and it could save his life. He says, we would save and reserve the ventilator for that second patient. Why? So Rav Schechter explains it a little bit more, because we're viewing this as they're both coming at the same time, right? Even though they're not both here. In this case, in Rav Asher Weiss's case, you know, the ambulance calls. But Rav Schechter says, even if the ambulance doesn't call, but if you know that other patients are coming, because that's what's going on, those are the numbers, you know other patients are coming, so then that's called that the two patients arrive together. That's called that they came to Vasachas, and then you make those decisions based on, you know, who has a greater chance of survival or not. Rav Asher Weiss quotes, he says, V'yesh mina gedolim, he doesn't mention his name, I don't know who it is, but he says, one of the gedolim wants to say that the person who arrives at the hospital first, he has kedima. He has priority. It's almost like a zchus mamon. You know, the first come, first serve. So there was one gadol that wanted to say that, but he says, I don't believe it. I don't think that's true. I don't think just because he arrived at the hospital first, he has priority. He has kedima, and therefore he says I think that you would treat those cases as cases that came together, and you would judge the priorities based on that. I just want to wrap up here with a couple interesting, very interesting shilas that Rav Schechter discusses, you know, based on these ideas. We're not going to read all of this, but Rav Schechter says that you know, when things were very, very saturated and the hospitals were overwhelmed, so he said they started connecting multiple patients to the same ventilator. Like they would use one ventilator for two patients. And he says, you know, sometimes, you know, he says before long it's going to be one ventilator for four patients. And when you hook up, you know, multiple patients to one ventilator, so it decreases the chance of survival. Right? It decreases the, by a certain percentage the chance of survival. Doctors, he says, are not sure exactly by how much, but it decreases somewhat the chances of survival. So are you allowed to do that? Right? When you're hooking up this, you know, when you're hooking up two patients, so you're it's almost like you're makariv misaso. You're bringing the you know, it's almost like they're killing the person. So he writes that that's not the case, and he says that doctors have a mitzvah of rapo yirapei, right? Rapo yirapei is a pasuk of rapo yirapei, and the Torah tells us that doctors have reshus, right? The Gemara tells us shemikan shenitna reshus lerofe lerapos. A doctor has reshus to practice. Now, what does that mean? The doctor has reshus to practice. So he quotes the Ramban in Torah Sa'adam, who says that it's possible that a doctor, when he practices, can sometimes cause a patient to die sooner, right? Sometimes the treatment doesn't go as planned. Sometimes things happen, you know, again, assuming there's no negligence, assuming the doctor's doing what he's supposed to be doing, but sometimes the body doesn't react in the same way. You know, something happens and the person dies earlier than he was supposed to. So how do you treat that? Did the doctor do something wrong? So the Ramban says, no, that's included in Verapo Yirapei. Verapo Yirapei means that a doctor has the right to do whatever he needs to do in order to save someone. Now, sometimes doctors make mistakes. Sometimes treatments don't work out. Sometimes a doctor doesn't know everything. Not all doctors are the same. And sometimes you get a doctor that doesn't know everything, you know, and maybe he didn't understand how a certain treatment would work, or he didn't understand a certain disease and he treated it in maybe the wrong way. But says Rav Shechter, that's all included in Verapo Yirapei. Of course, you can't be negligent. A person can't practice medicine if he's not well-trained, if he doesn't know what he's doing. But assuming he's well-trained and well-educated, he knows what he's doing, he tries his best, you know, with the tools that he has to save lives. That's Verapo Yirapei. So in this case, where you have so many people coming to the hospital who all need ventilators, included in Verapo Yirapei is that we might have to hook up two people to one ventilator. That is Verapo Yirapei. We're doing the best we can. Doctors have the mitzvah to do the best that they can. So that's what he says. That's considered doing the best you can. But he says, what if a person is hooked up to one ventilator, right? And then another chole comes into the hospital and he needs a ventilator. So he says, maybe that's different. You know, it's one thing to hook up two patients to the ventilator at the same time. But if one guy has the ventilator 100% to himself, and now another patient comes, and you're going to now take the first guy off the ventilator and connect both of them to the ventilator. Maybe that you can't do. The first guy's family might come to you and say, hey, what are you doing? Right? Our father, our grandfather's on a ventilator by himself, and now you're taking that away from him, and now you're hooking another patient on. Maybe that you can't do. Maybe that's, you know, causing the death and causing the ritzich of this person. So Rav Shechter says another chiddush here, and he says, he says, since we know that we're in a time where many, many sick people are coming into hospitals, and we have to do this. He says, this is what we're doing. We're hooking people up to ventilators, and then when more patients coming in, we're hooking up two people to a ventilator, or, you know, three people to a ventilator, whatever it is. So he says, Masha kavanu milachatchila, shemachshir echad shayach lechola echad. That which we decided, that we put a person on a ventilator, and a second person gets a second ventilator. Kavius zu rak haisal kama yamin. He says that was only temporary. When we put a person on a ventilator by himself, that is a temporary arrangement nowadays. That's that going into it. That's what the doctors had in mind. Kika chayu bedatino milachatchila. That's our intention to begin with. We know these people are not going to remain on the ventilators by themselves. There are too many sick people and not enough ventilators. So we know going in, when we hook people up to ventilators, that right now they might be on the ventilator by themselves, but in a little bit there's going to be another patient on with them. So since that's our das going in, so therefore when we do it, and when we take the first person off and join together with another person, so he says that's not called gram ritzicha, because since that was our intention to begin with, so again, as he said, we're doing the best that we can to save as many lives as possible. That's our intention going in. That's not called Ein Docha Nefesh Mipnei Nefesh. And again, using the same lumdus that he said before, we view it as though they came together. Even though right, it's true, one of them came, at 9 o'clock in the morning, one of them came at 10 o'clock in the morning. But since we knew going in at 9 o'clock, we knew that another guy's coming in at 10. So therefore, when we made that decision and when we started that treatment, so we knew that this was happening. And therefore, we view it as though they both came together, even though they didn't. We view it as though they both came together, and we can make that decision. So these are just some of the shilas that came up. Obviously, these are things that are omdim berumo shalolim. These are very, very serious shilas, and you need big people like Rav Hershel Schechter, like Rav Asher Weiss, and others to weigh in on these shilas. But as Rav Asher Weiss said, just in that last line, he wrote. Hashem Yirachim al Chole Yisrael. That the most important thing is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have rachamim on all of the cholim, on all of the sick people, and we daven for Rafua Shleima. So we continue to daven for Rafua Shleima to all those who are sick, and we continue to rely on these great Talmidei Chachamim to be paskening these tremendous shailas. And as we say, Mipi Emanu Chayim, that we live based on their mouths. Because we don't have the plates, so to speak, right? We don't have the big shoulders to shoulder these burdens. But Baruch Hashem, we have people who do, and they can make these decisions, and we can treat as many people and try to save as many lives as we can.